another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the Jules. Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. Great, great show for you tonight because we have my old friend Lee Harris from Merry Old England as my guest tonight. Lee is so wonderful. You can actually feel his vibration of pure love come over the airwaves. Lee is known for channeling Ziadora, Zachary, and Zephariah. And tonight, Lee talks about all kinds of stuff, especially what to watch for in 2010. It's always a great inspirational show when Lee is on, so stay with us. Let me introduce you to this incredible new magazine called The Edge. This monthly publication explores humankind's greatest truth of self-empowerment through the evolution of consciousness, alternative healing, and the experience of an authentic life through holistic living. Fortunately for us, it's now online as the Digital Edge magazine, in which we can access the complete printed edition on screen. Go there. Bookmark it and keep going back because The Edge is a valuable resource in sharing leading edge wisdom. It's also my favorite. So visit The Edge at soulofthecities.net. That's soulofthecities.net. Come aboard to Law of Attraction Radio Network's Cruise to Transformation 2010. The last cruise was so powerful, we wanted to bring forth the energy once again to heal and completely transform you into being the magnificent manifester that you are here to be. We have 8 exceptional interactive workshops that will heal you, transform you, and give you great insight to your authentic self. Dee Wallace is returning by popular demand, as well as the most incredible and documented energy healer, Amin Habib, who transforms and emits powerful healing energy to us all. We have law of attraction experts, EFT experts, relationship experts, and hypnosis experts ready to help you to transform your life. So come along and enjoy this most affordable and luxurious event. This 4-night cruise is May 31st through June 4th out at the Port of Long Beach. Visit the cruise page at loaradionetwork.com. Think you can't afford this? Oh, yes, you can, because you are a magnificent manifester. See you on May 31st. You know, there's something that I want to talk about tonight. Many of you who know of The Secret DVD or read the book The Secret know that our thoughts do create our reality. And to go a step further, we attract that which we are focusing on. Although The Secret did not focus so much on spirituality, it did focus on the law of attraction. Well, last week, James Ray, one of the featured speakers in the Secret DVD and the book, was arrested for manslaughter and 3 deaths having to do with his seminars and a makeshift sweat lodge. You know, I'm not here to judge Mr. Ray. The people who paid thousands and thousands of dollars to let Mr. Ray push them past their limits to discover their spiritual and personal power all had a choice in the matter. And those who attended that particularly disastrous seminar in the sweat lodge by their own choice. They were the ones who made the decision to attend. So I just want to make sure that people realize there are no victims in this. But what amazes me is that people choose to learn about their personal power through pain. I just can't grasp this in my head. When it's so easy to learn about your personal power and strength while living in joy. One of Mr. Ray's seminars had the participants dress as homeless people and had them wander the streets just to feel what it felt like to be homeless. Well, I find this very strange when the whole persona of the law of attraction is to feel. When you feel something intensely, you are sending a clear message to this huge energy field in the universe that I want more of it. Why feel homeless when you're striving to find your personal power? I'm also extremely curious as to why on earth people would feel so inclined to pay thousands and thousands of dollars to feel that. It makes no sense to me. Why follow someone who is teaching that you can't reach your personal power and truly know your spiritual essence until you torture yourself to the brink of death? What am I missing here? I'm just not getting it. If people want to push themselves to the limit, then go run a marathon or enter a triathlon. Push yourself individually. But why blindly follow someone when you have all the answers? You simply need to remember your own personal power. So my next question is, why walk over coals? Hey, I'm a hypnotherapist, and I see every day how powerful the mind is. But not everyone in a group has the same level of control over their minds. That's where the trouble begins, and that's where people start getting hurt. So this whole situation with Mr. Ray has raised my curiosity about the complexities of humans. And while it's sad, it was all based on a choice by Mr. Ray and those who participated. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is to simply remind people that you have all the answers to your own power within you. You are your own teacher and student. Don't follow people blindly. Go, listen, take what feels good and disregard what doesn't. Stand up and follow no one. Be an individual. Develop your own power by tuning into the joy of life and love. Shift your thoughts upward to a better feeling place. And by golly, if you choose to pay thousands and thousands of dollars to someone who may help you remember, at least have a great time with it. Get your money's worth by experiencing the joy of each moment. Love yourself enough to say, I choose to remember through joy and love. Isn't that a great intention to send out to the universe? Yeah, it is. Okay, enough of that. Just a fast reminder that next week we are having Marilyn Kapp, who happens to be the most incredible medium, that I think she's actually more accurate than John Edwards. So call in and see if there is a message for you from a loved one. And also, don't forget now that you can listen to all the shows on Law of Attraction Radio Network through your smartphones. So visit our homepage at loaradionetwork.com and get your free download. Great. Okay, here we go. Let's talk to Lee Harris, a person who I would follow anywhere, because you can just feel the love and compassion and joy with every word he speaks. Lee is an intuitive and a channel for Zachariah, Zachary, and Ziadora. He's a magnificent teacher on the power of love and energy, but he's also a wonderfully talented singer and songwriter, so I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. Welcome back, Lee, to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Good to be back. Thank you.
So, Lee, give us an update as to what's been happening with you.
An update? A lot changed for me in 2009. I'd say pretty much, many, many details of my life, everything really. So it was it's been very busy, and I've now got a website. I've moved from limitlessness.com onto leeharrisenergy.com, and I have a blog there, and I've been doing my sessions all year, and I've also done some seminars. I did a few events in Boulder last year, which was wonderful. Really amazing place to create and to energetically do this kind of work. So no, it's been a real journey. I've kind of done a few different things around the world and made a connection on Holland, and have been doing a few seminars over there. So no, it's been an incredible journey on the work side, and on the personal side, it's just been probably the most extraordinary year of my life, really. Very, very tough at times and very difficult at times, as I think many people have experienced in the last year or two. But from going through all of that process, unwinding a lot of what I was doing in life, and finding myself in a very different place at the beginning of this year.
So going through all those processes, where is your future headed?
At the moment, I have a few events coming up in Europe. So I'm doing a seminar in Amsterdam in Holland on February the 20th, Saturday. That's a day called Living and Loving Without Fear. So, you know, that's always a fascinating topic, because, of course, fear is so strong everywhere in so many ways, and it's often the wall that holds us in place in certain areas we need to be. So we're going to be looking at the nature of fear and expansion, and how to just keep walking through your fears with confidence and with trust. And then I will also, the night before, be doing an evening on psychic sensitivity, which is for everybody, really, but many therapists and healers will attend. And this is something I actually did a day of in Berlin in December, and it was a real success. You know, I did kind of joke to the group, I wonder if our heads will all explode. You know, you have 25 very sensitive or psychic people in a room, and no, it was a wonderful, wonderful day. So that's a side of my work that I've been developing a bit more, kind of working with people who are very energetically sensitive, to try and help them understand what you do with that in daily life, because it's something that I've lived through for years, and you know, I've done it the hard way and had to go through many challenges myself with it. So it's great to kind of, you know, share what you've learned in the hope that it will maybe help somebody else. So that's Amsterdam in February, and then in May I'm doing a four-day retreat in Tuscany in Italy, which is going to be great. I've never been to Tuscany yet, so we're in this beautiful place with great home-cooked food, and we're going to not only have healing and channeling sessions, but we're going to do creative things too, like painting together. I've just discovered painting myself, so it's a really incredible thing to do, so I'm going to lead a class in that as well. So that should be really wonderful. And then the final event I've currently got booked is I'm guest speaking at the Crimson Circle Midsummer Conference. Yeah, that's the 2nd and 3rd of July, which I've just learnt is already sold out, because they kept it just down to 300 people this year. So so that will be great. And in the meantime, literally as we speak, I'm brewing a few plans for the States right now, which look likely to take place between about mid-March and the beginning of the middle of May, I think. But I can announce all of that as it goes up. So if you're interested in coming to one of my events, then please sign up on the newsletter, and you'll be informed of anything as it happens.
And just to remind people, that's leeharrisenergy.com. Lee, with all the things that happened to you last year, do you feel like it helped you intuitively, psychically, or perhaps creatively?
It's felt like a little bit of both, actually, because I, you know, I work on music too, and there's been a lot of activity in that area, and so I've been working creatively in music, working with the painting, and I think creativity is a great stabilizer in some ways to sensitivity, because it's a way to explore what you're feeling and what's in and around you. And last year, I think one of the things that I experienced more than ever, I had a fairly major awakening experience in January of 2009, and it then felt like it's taken me a year to really consolidate what happened. It was a very powerful experience that happened one night in January, and it wasn't anything I was going hunting or looking for, but it was literally that all the fear was just literally pulled out my body, fears that I wasn't even aware of or conscious of. And I was very aware, quite a powerful rebirth was happening to me, and I was being spoken to through it by the Z's. And from then on, it was interesting because it seemed like everything that wasn't resonant with where I needed to go next had to disappear or had to move out of the way so that I could expand more in the way I needed to. So for me, like I think many people I've spoken to, 2009 was a real a year of shakedown and expansion at the same time, and it feels like 2010 now. Everything has stabilized and grounded in a new way. It's interesting because I, as I'm saying this, I know that I've given the details of my life, but I know that we've all been going on this energy wave of the last few years, which has been building us to now. And when we crossed over from 2009 to 2010, there was this definite understanding of the end of a chapter. In some ways, it's a little like the energy that we completed by the end of 2009 is the energy that really opened up in 2002. I think not long after the impact of the towers and a few other things that happened in 2001, we entered this space of acceleration that really got faster and faster. And 2010 feels like everything has reset. And the information I've been given when I've spoken to the Z's about this, or just tuned in myself, is that 2010, 2011, 2012, three pivotal years, but they're very, very linked. So it's almost as if we've started a whole new three-year cycle of energy now that's going to be very contained and very specific, and it's going to set up what comes beyond, you know, what comes from 2013 onwards, because this is going to be a powerful decade like no other, really.
So what's your advice on all this?
Well, there's a few things, aren't there? I think, you know, I was talking to a friend the other day, and I was saying how, you know, with the world that we live in now, this fast communication that we have, that we've never had on the planet, there has never been an ability to connect so speedily or in so many different ways with people on the other side of the world. And also, you know, you think of even, you know, 25 years ago, people weren't with cell phones and mobile phones, and now not only do we have to sell them the mobile phone so we're constantly contactable, there are things like people have email on their phone, and there are lots of effects of this speed that I think you kind of see causing stress in people, because it kind of has crept up over time, so people carry on as normal without realizing they're now doing six times the things they used to do. And while in some ways we're more capable of that, and certainly the more you awaken, it seems that everything can move through you very fast. I think in terms of your grounding, you have to be very ruthless at the moment with your choices. And I use that word, it's a very strong word, ruthless, but I use it because I think there is a real tide going out and a tide coming in for people. So lots of people are still busy with things that they're letting go of, and literally as they're letting go of one thing at a time, a whole new option is coming in, or sometimes three. So the speed of everything, I think, is really key. And I think the only advice I would give, and this is how I try to live, and certainly, you know, what I try to do as much as possible, and it works for me, is to just keep an eye on your speed and living in the moment, really. You know, so much happens around us all the time to remind us that it's just such a life of no control. You know, we like to think we have control. We think that we have control over the heating in our home, but you know, the earth speaks as it did last month. You know, the tragedy in Haiti. So we are really just here to experience the best we can in the moment. And I think the more you undo yourself, the more you undo your mind, the more you undo your projected desires, the more you undo your idea of achievements or goals or ambitions, and just come back to enjoying how you are in the moment. And if the moment doesn't feel good to you, if when you do stop things aren't good, then that's a real indicator to you that you just need to empty out. And I think what I mean by empty out is, especially if you're sensitive, or especially if you're somebody who is living at a fast pace, or a healer, or intuitive, or awakened, it can be very it's almost like we're having to learn a new speed of absorbing things in the world. So by the same token, these necessary stopping times where you just stop and have time by yourself, sometimes you can, you know, go through some discomfort when that happens, or feel a little uneasy the first time you're on your own after, say, 6 days of being around people or busy all the time. And that's usually a sign that, and your energy is having to just reset back to you and help you recenter after everything that you've been influenced by. So the thing about the speed for me is always, how do you feel? You know, how do you feel in every moment? And how much are you allowing your feelings to drive you rather than your thoughts or the desires or needs of others? Because that's also something we saw increase in 2009, because so many people were going through difficulties of one kind or another. There were a lot of people who needed help. There were lots of people turning to each other, and I think that's something that you must be incredibly discerning about. You know, who can you give to, and who feels right to give to, and how much can you give, and just keeping an eye on that when you're helping someone else through something, that there's a real resonance for you. And I'm not talking about if it's your job, I'm just talking about your personal life. And I think many people in the last year have been challenged by certain relationship issues, friends and family, and things that have been coming up and out of them through the framework of these close and intimate relationships that we have with each other, you know, so we can really push the buttons in each other that need to be pushed at the time that they're ready to be pushed. And that's kind of how we operate.
You know, I think you're 100% right on target. I found myself with all of this expansion and learning all of these new things, especially with the network. I found myself being very irritable. And then I've had a lot of changes due to my father's health, who was very, very sick. And he's healing nicely now, but at the same time, it has been overwhelming, to say the least. So I think you're right on target.
It has been incredibly intense, and you know, I always feel like a broken record, really, because you know, we say the same things over and over, don't we? We say it's getting faster, everything's accelerating, but I think last year the evidence of that became very apparent in people's lives, if it hadn't already. I think we started to see some of the things that maybe have been very solid, whether that's to do with government or whether that's to do with your personal relationships, just start to fall apart, just start to dismantle around the edges, and things that we took for granted maybe started to disappear. And, you know, whenever that happens, the container that we're held in is suddenly removed. So whether that's the container of your relationship with your father, and, you know, you think he's healthy, so you just assume everything's fine, and suddenly one day he's not, and there's pain and emotion and loss and all of the feelings around that. Lots of people found themselves, let's say, pushed into realities last year that they didn't expect or hadn't necessarily gone seeking. So I think, you know, we're constantly having to adjust our own inner volume dial on how much that we can take in. But the irritation is very key, actually, what you just touched on there, irritation. You know, irritation is just mild doses of anger, and anger is usually unexpressed words or feelings, and often when people are overwhelmed, they're very irritable, and that can be something that, you know, you can actually look to adjusting. And I think one of the biggest tests that I've put myself under in the last 2 months, especially because of my upcoming seminar in February, because, you know, I find that whenever I run a seminar on a certain topic, I put myself under the microscope, consciously or not, in the month or two before, and kind of try and update myself around the topic before I work with the people. And yeah, living and loving without fear is the name that I've chosen for Amsterdam. And it's been fascinating to me to really live at the edge of my fears in the last six weeks, and live incredibly out of my comfort zone and keep finding areas where I'm not comfortable, and to actually just gently walk a little bit towards them. And sometimes that was the idea of letting people down, you know. For example, I've just had to streamline this month, and one of the things I've had to let go of doing for the time being is my energy forecasts, which I was doing monthly, and I really enjoyed doing them. And it's taken me, I'd say, about 2 weeks of really trying to rearrange things in so many different ways. And then finally, 2 days ago, I just realized that that was one of the things I needed to cut. And so it was very interesting to see the part of me that was reluctant to do that, the part of me that felt responsible around doing that because of the people that, you know, I'll get messages from and they enjoy it. And so it's very, I think that's another challenging thing, that I think many of us have been moving from where we were. You know, we're either slightly altering what we do as we're growing into it more, or we're changing the nature of the way we do things. And as we do that, there are always some ties to cut, and there are always some feelings to be had, because, yeah, these containers that we live in, whether it's the container of a relationship or the container of a, you know, a job that you have and a building that you go to every day, when they're removed, everything starts to go up in the air, because we place our energy within relationships, and we place our energy within our doings on earth and the jobs that we do. And, you know, we get comfortable in that zone, and then you get removed from it, and you see who you've become as a result of the experience of the container. And sometimes that can take a long, long time to go through, you know, especially with things like relationship breakups. It can take, you know, months and months and months and months to go through the process of coming back to yourself. And you know, I separated with my partner's story a year ago, and actually that was incredibly an intense process for me. It really was. It took me by surprise just quite how intense that separation was energetically. And even though, you know, we're still in contact with each other and see each other and things, it's very different now in me as a result of that change. And I think these things take a lot of time, and I think they need to be given time. And I think one of the things that we're all a bit guilty of is we try and keep up with the pace of life rather than actually going, you know what, this week I can't keep up with the pace. And I think if that's repeatedly happening, if you're repeatedly finding that you're running out of energy or you're irritated, or just have a look with a slightly ruthless eye at your schedule, and, you know, maybe look at all the things that you're doing, whether that's a job, whether that's you're caring for someone, or and just write down the list of all of the things that require energy and commitment from you. And then look at the list and make a note of which are the things that you don't want to let go of, or that don't feel, that feel most important to you, and isolate those. And then write the things that feel like maybe they could go. And, you know, as I'm saying this, I'm just tuning in on some of your audience doing this exercise. And believe me, it will make you a bit hot under the collar when you write these things, because some of them you won't find so easy to even consider letting go of. But sometimes just sitting with a piece of paper and writing some thoughts about what you really want, and do you have enough space for what you really want to do, and how many things are you doing because you think you should, or because you think, well, you know, I've promised I'd build this house, so okay, now they need me to dig a trench as well. And I don't really dig trenches, but someone's got to do it, and I do know how to do it, so okay, I'll do it. You know, and you take that on. And then you find 2 or 3 weeks later you're really irritated and you haven't got any energy left. And actually, it's a good chance for you to kind of go, well, maybe next time I won't offer to do the trench. Maybe next time I'll commit to the job and we'll just see if someone else comes in to do the trench. I'm finding that things are getting replaced incredibly quickly for people who have gone through a big growth period of either loss or pain or trauma or release. Things are really coming in very, very, very fast, these new options, and sometimes it's just overwhelming, even if they're all good, you know?
Oh, I hear you. Are you still channeling the 3 Z's?
I've been channeling at events, and also what was really interesting for me last year is, because of the amount of change I was going through, I actually reconnected with the Z's, as I call them, because it's Zachary, Zyadora, and Zephariah, almost on a daily basis for myself, especially in the limitlessness years. It was 3.5 years of very, very, very intense, wonderful, but we were working hard all the time. And so it was a really interesting shift for me to go from using my channeling and my ability for others a lot, and then coming back after that 3-year period of intensity and work, and not only reaping the benefits of it for myself, but also having to look at my energy field, you know, and see if there were any holes. And if there were holes, I had to find them, and I had to kind of go in there and really do a lot of self-healing. So I had the guidance of them through that, and throughout I carried on doing my personal sessions last year and my work, and yeah, they're it's funny because they're always present, and you know, they're always present with me. And a lot of the time in my work, I'm not directly channeling, but then I kind of am at the same time. So I will sit there and, as I am now, speak as Lee. But in a way, there's a bit of a consolidated group going on in terms of what's coming through when I'm working spiritually with people or talking about energy or those kinds of things. So there's been a lot more integration for me around the channel, and that was one of the fascinating things. And they did tell me that. They said at the beginning of the year that you're integrating what you've learned from us now over the years, and you're going to become a bit more yourself, and we'll still be present and we'll still come through if you know as you choose to carry on doing this work with and for us, but they're always with me personally, which you know is just wonderful. So if anyone out there hasn't started channeling and they feel like they'd like to, you know, see if you can get in touch with your guide, because it's a really extraordinary experience.
What does it feel like to channel?
It's pure love, and it's utter clarity. It's really it's utter clarity, and it's utter peace about everything. You know, it's utter I guess it's a little like, you know, if you have a really good friend who's a great counselor for you, and when you go see them, they see you in a different way because they're not feeling quite what you're feeling. They're just outside you, and they're observing, so they can give you this wonderful perspective. And it's interesting for me because I have a twofold experience. Very, very rarely ever listen to my own work, and often haven't listened to a lot of the stuff that's out there already. But when I do, it's quite surprising for me to hear them coming through me, because of course I hear them inside me as well. So yeah, it's a very interesting experience. But I can feel their love and their presence and their energy, and I'm having a more powerful experience around channeling now than ever before, whereby I literally feel the energy is so much stronger, and it seems to be more present every time it's coming through and being channeled. So there were some amazing channels last year, actually. Some really wonderful stuff came through in the seminars.
What's your advice to people who want to start channeling? What is the best way to go about it?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I personally don't think I'm a great teacher of channeling. I mean, for example, there's a lady called Wendy Kennedy. I don't know if you've heard of her. She channels the Palladian Collective, and I think her website is higherfrequencies.net. And I know that she is quite fond of teaching people channeling, and I hear her channeling workshops are very good. I think what was different for me was, and the reason I think I'm a little more, a little different to some of the people I've heard who channel, is I didn't really go hunting it, and I didn't do conscious things to bring it in. It was a kind of accident, really. It was more that I went from dowsing with a pendulum. My friend taught me a dowsing, and you know, literally the pendulum swings clockwise for yes and anti-clockwise for no. And after doing this for about 2-3 weeks and asking questions, back when I was about 21, 22, and I'm now 33, I found that I would start to know the answer before it came. And I'd had this idea that I could read things. I'd predicted things for people that would come up, or I'd known things about people that I shouldn't really have known, or that other people didn't seem to know. And it was literally around this time, age 22, that I kind of cracked open in a way. And I think for me it was personal development. I went through a lot of personal development from the age of 16 to 21, as I think we all do, but my circumstances and my identity went through a big shift, and I think that's what catalyzed it. But channeling, really, I would say, for people like your listeners who are already, you know, tuned in, and is really something that, if you can demystify it, you're halfway there. One of the things that I try to explain as clearly as I can, but I can understand if you're not a channeler and you're observing or listening to a channeler, it's very easy to see it in a certain way. For me, it's just this incredibly effortless, simple thing. It's almost like doing the dishes. You know, it's that simple. It's a quick switch. And, you know, one minute you're doing the dishes and the next minute you're channeling, or you're doing both at the same time and having a conversation in your head. And I think one of the hardest things for people to believe is that it could be easy. And I consistently meet people who are channeling, and they'll tell me or they'll show me what they've written, and I'll say, that's great. I'll go, that's brilliant. And they'll go, is it? And I'll go, yeah. And they'll go, but is this me? Is this? And I'll go, no, it isn't you. And I'll tell you, I can see why. I can see it's a different vibration. But the ultimate test is to just sit with a pen and paper, or if you prefer, a computer, keypad, and ask a few questions. Maybe write down a few questions for yourself, like, you know, how am I doing in my life? Is there anything else that I need right now for, you know, better comfort? Or it could be very specific. And then just attempt to write the answer. And don't worry about what comes out onto the page. Just go with it. So even if your biggest fear is that you'll write something that very obviously isn't channeling, well, just embrace that fear and walk into it, because the worst that can happen is your fear will be correct. And you're already expecting that, so that's okay. Really, the fear is the opposite. The true fear is that you might write something profound, because what happens when you start to channel is you start to get adjusted very, very quickly. And that was one of the reasons that I needed so much personal time in 2009, having spent 3 years working with people every single week, doing broadcasts, doing seminars, recording products, so much for 3 years. I really needed time to catch up and time to just allow my vibration to absorb everything I'd been through and consolidate once more my own energy field, because channeling is, you know, it has a wonderful effect on you, but it can be very, very fast. So I always say just go gently with it. You know, if you feel to wake up each morning and try channeling, great. But if you feel to try channeling monthly for the beginning, then do that too. Just go at your own speed. But yes, if you're finding it frustrating or banging your head against the wall, or you feel very lost, then I would suggest, you know, Google searching some good channeling books, or going and asking for some advice. I mean, there are also some products that Story and myself did do on channeling. There's a Zephariah workshop called The Channeler in You, which is an audio available from my site. Story has a great, Story Waters has a great product on limitlessness.com called The Courage to Channel. So these things are, there's lots of different things out there, and just pick the thing that resonates with you. But more than anything, it's about trusting that you could be a conduit of such a message, because if you had met me 15 years ago or 10 years ago and told me who I would become in terms of my experience, my perspective, I wouldn't, you'd have been telling me a story from my future that I would have sat there and gone, oh, wow. You know, whereas now I'm in my future and it's completely normal because I've gone through every step to get here. But I think the biggest thing that all good channels I've ever heard, and mine included, try and do is to remind us that we are also connected, including to those beings and those energies above our heads and outside our bodies, and it's all just a flow. So I think trust is the biggest thing, because I think many people get scared of what it is they might channel, whether that's the nature of an entity or an energy that they might channel that they won't like, or whether they'll get information they won't like. But the thing about channeling is you only ever get what you're ready for, and you'll know it's authentic because it will always be loving and it will always be supportive. The channel will never tell you you're doing anything wrong, because they just don't believe in that concept, and you know that concept it doesn't really exist in that way. So the way I knew the difference at the beginning was because my channel didn't always tell me what was most convenient for my ego or my desires at the time. And because I was battling a lot with self-judgment back then, and a lot with the inner critic, and being very hard on myself, and taking way too much responsibility all the time for everything. And so it was very interesting. I could tell the difference between the nagging voice in my head that were, you know, that I, you know, spent a lot of time clearing and actually just experiencing in order to heal it, in order to release it, and then the channel, which was always just so clear. And so, yeah, you can just tell. It's if you're not hearing anything, then sometimes starting with writing can be a great way to bring that voice through.
Would you say that within the next 3 years, if someone did want or did set the intention to channel, that their abilities would manifest in a rapid manner?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at our world, whatever it is, whether it's channeling, you know, we work as a group, and it's the same principle as if you teach one monkey in a group of 20 how to open a box that's locked with a key. Eventually that whole group are going to know, even if they've done these studies, you know, and energetically there is a kind of osmosis that happens between us as beings. And I think if you look back to the channeling that we've had in the last 100 years, I mean, channeling has existed all of the time. I mean, it's always been here, but it's becoming more and more out there in the spiritual mainstream now. And you look at the success of people like Esther Hicks and Abraham, which is just fantastic, really, that we're at a time on Earth where somebody like her can be almost under the radar channeling, because she looks quite normal. You know, I think it's great that she's a woman, and I think it's great that she's a woman from the older generation, because I think that there's a lot of trust and a lot of experience that comes with her energy field. So I think that the more it's normalized in society, not only does it become more normal for people to experience it outside themselves, but it becomes ingrained in the psyche that, okay, we as a society have the potential to be all of these things, musician, builder, doctor, but we also now have the potential to be this thing called channeler, because we keep seeing these examples of them out there. And I think that the more we each represent certain skills, abilities, or talents that are natural to us, the more we play our role for the group, play our role for the life, and the life that we're living, and increase everybody else's chances of becoming who they need to become, whether it's a channeler or anything else.
Well, if it's true that we have all the answers within, is channeling just a way to get the answers to come out?
Oh, yeah. They're just trying to teach us everything we already know. Yeah, no, it really is. And I think I've noticed a few different things with channeling. I've noticed that channeling is sometimes a wonderful tool for people who are awakening, either briefly or for a long time. It's also, I think, very important for healers, mystics, psychics. I think it's very important. It's almost like, what's the word? It's almost like the channels are the supervisors, if you like, in some ways, and the teachers and the mentors for how we're creating this growing spiritual energy field on Earth. And the thing about channeling is that it's connected to you. I think it's a strange thing to describe. Like, I understand that Zachary, Zyadora, Zachariah are all their own individual energies and entities, but they come join with me for the translation. They come join with mine. So they are separate, but they're also like family to me. So the way I experience it is, when you're channeling, you're just reaching up higher than yourself, going above your own head, and either tapping into your relationship with a higher energy source or tapping into the higher part of yourself. It seems to vary for different people. So channeling really is very, very centered in us, even though the perception is it comes from somewhere above us, because they're literally telling us things that we couldn't be told unless we were ready to know and understand them and have them reopened and reactivated in us. And I think the more I've grown, I've started to understand more that we're not really here learning, we're just here remembering and activating ourselves. And that remembering and that activation of who we're here to be and who we were in previous lifetimes gets kind of, you know, catalyzed by the relationships you choose, the experiences you have. And I think what channeling is great for is activating people very quickly. Gently but quickly. I think the illusion of channeling is that it's gentle. And I know there are all sorts of different channelers out there, and there are some channels you can hear that really aren't very gentle. But I'm often struck by the power of this gentleness. It's almost like you're listening to the information and receiving the energy, but it's really kind of powerfully changing you at a vibrational and cellular level, because you're joining with something that's higher vibration, so you go up with it, and then at the end of the channel you return back to your energy body and you reconfigure based on that journey that you've taken, and you upgrade the parts of yourself that are ready to be upgraded, which is often why people get what I call the seminar slump. So, you know, you go to a seminar, you have a great party, you feel high as a kite on the Sunday, the end of the seminar, and then you can go home, and sometimes that high can not only just wear off, but it can rocket you down very fast, because that's often a sign of how much processing and change you just went through that weekend that's now consolidating itself and recalibrating itself. And that's also why 2009 was such a tough year for so many people, because so many factors at world levels were playing out, so that people were just personally or professionally or at a world level greatly challenged by what they were experiencing or seeing going on around them. So it was a real power shift for people, and I think that's why there were some incredible highs and some incredible lows for people too, because there was this forward movement and there was this sense of quickening going on around people's development. So it was quite brutal for some. After many years of, you know, following certain spiritual practices or following certain rules, I myself have come to a place now of kind of letting go of all of it. You know, it no longer serves me to concentrate on things, but it really did serve me at certain times to practice certain things. And I think the biggest, just tuning in on the audience listening as well, the biggest thing that I'm getting really is this speed that is talked about often with celebration. And I think in the spiritual camp, it's often talked about as, oh, it's all wonderful because all of these shifts are happening, and that's great, you know, and it's great to look to the future and go, okay, we're creating a new future. But actually, we're human, and we're human beings who live one day at a time, and we're also human beings who never actually know the day that we're going to die. You know, none of us know when we're going to die unless we've actually been given a diagnosis by a doctor because of an illness or something. So I think one of the things that I've noticed can wear people down is this feeling of, okay, well, everything's fast, but it's good and I must keep going with it. And you just see people getting exhausted. And the biggest truth I know is that the more, both personally and from working with people, is that the more you can stop and the more you can catch up with everything and the more you can step back when you feel overwhelmed, the more a lot of the things that you're feeling overwhelmed by or you don't want to do just disappear or reform. And I went through a period last year of really, it was quite an extraordinary thing for me. You know, after years of trying to keep up with emails and, you know, all of those things, it just got crazy. So I just really let everything go. And that was difficult for the part of me that felt that was either rude or that I wasn't able to respond to everybody, but I simply couldn't do it. And it was so hard for me to do that. I was struck by how hard it was, but I had no choice. And so after a while, it was interesting how the amount of emails would either die down or certain things that needed to be dealt with got dealt with when I couldn't do them, whereas before I'd been trying to keep up with and do everything myself. And I think lots of people, myself included, are still doing what they were doing a few years ago, like yourself. You know, you're still doing the show. But I look at you and I see that you now have, you know, the network, and you're running the network. And we were chatting earlier and, you know, you were saying it's all busy. And I think lots of us are still often in the same roles, but we're at a different position on the ladder or on the framework. And with that comes new responsibilities, new challenges, new learnings, and a lot of us forget to let go of certain things in order to accommodate that, because we keep trying to do everything we were doing before, and it just won't work. And I think what's happening at the moment is those people who are really struggling to swim against the tide are literally getting pushed back by the waves more than ever before, and finding themselves having difficulty after difficulty. And it's a very scary thing to step back, I think, because a lot of us have certain control patterns around our life that we adhere to, even if they're not what you'd perceive as negative control. But, you know, you have a control over the amount of time that you spend on the phone each day, and, you know, when you start to loosen the way you do things, it can bring a seismic shift inside you and outside you to your reality. And I think it takes a certain level of awareness and bravery to do that, because I think it's very, very hard in the society we live in. It doesn't necessarily, the majority voice doesn't necessarily advise us to live from joy. It advises us to do this or do that, or buy this product because it's good for our health, or we must do this. And I'm a real, the word must, I think, should be eradicated from the dictionary. Whenever musts and rules and all of those things, they're great if that's where you're at and if that's what you're exploring. But there comes a point when you have to recognize that if you're following a must or a rule, then you're enslaved in it to some degree, and that enslavement is sometimes just brilliant. But there comes a point when you have to let that go and just trust that each day you know what you need and you know what you can do, and actually following your feelings will reveal a lot to you in a different way. And I think one final thing to say is there's been a massive experience in the last year or two of people who are what I would call light workers, whether they're healers, whether they're artists, whether they're doctors, those people who are out there to help and to make a difference and consciously to add their energy to the growth of others. There's been a seismic shift in that group in the last year or two around grounding. You know, lots of people who were hermits at home or living quietly away from busyness and away from people are suddenly finding themselves going back out into the world, or being brought back into the world in a different way, and having to relearn how to be in the world in a different way and ground who they are and what they do. Because lots of people went through ascensions in the last few years that meant they needed to hibernate a lot and chrysalis themselves away in order to do it. And grounding was huge in 2009, and the energy of grounding now is combining with more of the magic and more flow. In 2009, there was an enormous amount of reduction for people. There was an enormous amount of contraction. And, you know, if we look at childbirth, contractions are painful. And sometimes when you contract very fast or very hard, it can rock you to your core. But as you are rocked to your core, as a result and as an after effect, something extraordinary starts to expand in you. So 2010 really is a year of expanding on everything that you've been building towards the last few years. And again, building towards will mean what it means to you. Some people are quite ambitious and enjoy their work, and others are just building towards more daily happiness or more daily peace, more daily tuning in with themselves, regardless of their external outcome and external world. And of course the truth is, you know, when you're in flow with yourself, then the world starts to flow around you. But I also see people beating themselves over the head with statements like that when things aren't going well, or, you know, the people who get very hard on themselves because they've got an illness and they have a belief or an understanding that energetically they've therefore manifested it. And so many people can really torment themselves with these beliefs, and really it's just so important that we learn as much about love as we can in the brief time that we're here, whether we're learning it about loving ourselves more and being kind to ourselves more, or whether we're learning about loving others and sharing that love with others. And I think there are lots and lots of fears for people about doing it the right way, or making sure they're growing the right way. And actually, I think we're just at a point where all of that's being let go. And it's unnerving for people because, you know, what with all of the things on the horizon, it's a very new time. And in this generation that we've all been living, things have happened faster than ever in terms of the evolution of our world. So we're at a time where new leaders are emerging because they're needed. We don't have a blueprint that our parents' generations left for us at this point in time on Earth with what we're facing and what we're living in. It's just so different. So we're the people who are having to create the future at the moment. And I think a lot of fear was going on around that in the last few years. And I think 2010, we're about to start seeing what I would call more new energy leadership emerging. And I've been touched by the language that I'm hearing on the street, you know, what I would call people who wouldn't normally speak about spiritual things. You're going into a shop and someone speaks to you openly in a way that they maybe wouldn't have 5 or 10 years ago. I mean, there's so much changing all the time, and I think it's also difficult because we get so much information about what's going on in the world now in a way that 100 or 200 years ago you just wouldn't have had it. You'd have been living in your own small environment with some correspondence from the outside world, and nowadays we're plugged into everything everywhere, so there's a wonderful sense of oneness, but we're also living at a time where the human body and the human energy system has never before moved at this rate. And I think often there is this idea in people's heads that, okay, well, I must keep going. And it's like actually saying, well, no, this is an extraordinary time to be alive, but it can be exhausting too. And actually it's exhausting because we're all trying to pioneer something new. So if that is your story, stepping back is so important.
Oh, this is great information. Thank you so much. Lee, today is Valentine's Day. Do you have a Valentine's message for the listeners?
It's really interesting because love is something that we define in our society, and it's so undefinable, really. And one of the things that was predicted, I did a channel in New York, a Zachary channel, in September of 2008. And in this channel, Zachary predicted a wave of divorces and separations in the next year or so. And, you know, I was one of those, unbeknownst to me at the time, because it was four or five months later that I went through the same thing myself. And one of the things that I really explored in the last year was removing my definition of love, because my last relationship I very much saw as a marriage, and I very much had a marriage mentality around it, and within that I held a belief of, you know, very long-term relationship. And so that was one of the things that I as a human being had to let go of last year in myself as a belief, the idea that, you know, I will have a partner for many, many, many years. I just would never know whether that would be the case until, you know, we'd both reached 30 or 40 years together. And I think there's been an enormous freedom for me in that, around intimacy and around love. And I think we as a planet are really beginning to redefine what love is. If you go back in time, you know, there were some beautiful examples of what was put out there through poetry, through art, through music, of how people experienced love. But if you look at the very heavy organization that used to exist, whether that was religious organization of people's relationships, whether that was financial organization around relationships, I think we're just at a time where people are recognizing none of those rules are working in the same way that they used to. And I think there's been a lot of pain and a lot of doubt around that for people. But the real truth, you know, is just that the love that exists inside us can combine with anybody at any moment. And the intimacy that we're having with a stranger who we meet briefly for a few moments and share a few words with, or a laugh, is the same as the intimacy that we can share with our partners or our lovers, or those that, you know, that we see ourselves as betrothed to in a way. But I think there's an enormous freedom existing around what love truly is. And I think one of the nicest things I've experienced is just more of a sense of love inside myself that's a lot easier to maintain with everyone around me in a way that feels stronger than ever. And I'm seeing this as the opportunity on the planet for more and more people. I think the knock-on effect sometimes of love can be pain for people. You know, I've often seen people, you know, offer their love to somebody and it's too much for the person they're offering it to in that moment, or it's not quite right for them, or they can't open their heart and join them. And then those people go through pain together, if there's some pain for them around this. But then they get to a point where the pain's done, and it's like, okay, well, I'll just, me and my love will go over here, and we'll see if we can share it with this person, or I'll go and pour some love into what I'm cooking, or I'll walk my dog, and we'll have a great time. And it's so funny to me how this energy of love is why we're here, and it's how we were all created. You know, we were all created through an act of love between two human beings where they merge and share their energy with each other in that most intimate way. And at the highest level, you know, if you look at Tantra, it's the most sacred spiritual act in that way. And I think one of the things that is so beautiful about the planet at the moment is the amount of open emotion that you're seeing. And I hope everybody has a lovely Valentine's Day, whatever they're doing. And I think if you're on your own and you're single and you want a partner, it's a great day to do some intentions about the kind of relationship you'd want. But most importantly, love yourself. Do something that you love to do on Valentine's Day. Make a date with yourself on Valentine's Day would be my advice.
Great advice. Make Valentine's Day a day of love, not only for that person in your life, but for yourself as well. And that's the perfect note to leave the show on tonight. Thank you so much, Lee, for coming on. I really appreciate all that you do. And to all the wonderful listeners, we'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us on Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. For more information, go to Law of Attraction Radio Network at lawofattracttalkradio.com or lawofattractiontools.com.